Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, the sprinkler man waits for no one.
What's your waifu password?
A donkey on the lamb.
The birth of Venus or David's penis?
Stop the monkeys!
He can't swing very hard anymore.
Prime Day has just gotten too commercial.
I like a good hillbilly in the city story.
Where do I put my possum?
A crumbling facade of a joke.
Grease is the problem I have with nut butter.
Go kiss an onion ring.
Can't wait for Integration Test Season 2.
Live from New York, it's Tuesday Morning with Justin and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Here's another kind of sandwich I like. Peanut butter and mayonnaise. Just put peanut butter on one side, mayonnaise on the other, slap them together, and there's your sandwich.
Not so far!
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
I disagree. You have chosen wisely. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Being a little sad, I got to tell you. I was watching Hulu last night, and right up on the screen there where I normally just hit resume on the old permanently running Seinfeld series, mm-hmm. A little message saying, expires in 4 days.
Oh, 4 days to watch.
I don't know where they're going. I don't know what that's about. They've been there forever. So
Peacock, probably. I mean, isn't that a?
Yeah, but it wasn't. Was it an NBC production or just a? Now I don't know. I have no idea. Where is?
I know it ended with.
You're not wrong. Okay, here it is. Seinfeld. Too hot to handle. Hold on. Might be available to stream.
Yeah, it might be the porn version you're looking at.
Oh, this is interesting. It says it may not be able to stream for months, it says.
Oh!
It says that, let's see here. Okay. It's coming back to Netflix. There's a little swap-a-rooney going on. Because it was on Netflix before, remember? And then it went to Hulu, but it was like the very next week, so you didn't have to really live without it. But it won't reach Netflix until September at the earliest. So I'm just saying, if you're into that show or like to have it on as background noise, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And I'm screwed, because that's what I like it for.
Well, I'm about 3 seasons into Friends. Friends would love to have you. What's it going to take to put you into some Friends, Scott?
Well, I've seen...
At least what I can get my manager to add on as a perk.
Yeah.
Get you into some Friends.
Oh, I just heard some terrible news about Friends. I guess I'll go ahead and share it, because, you know, why not? We're a comedy morning show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that? The Gunther guy?
Gunther.
Got the cancer, and it's just stage four or something?
Stage 4 cancer, man.
Oh, that sucks. That guy seemed nice.
And he was just featured fairly prominently in the episode I watched last night. So it was like, oh, that guy.
Too young.
Him in the background cleaning glasses and pining over Rachel.
Yeah, that sucks. But hopefully maybe something crazy will happen and he'll, the treatment will work and he'll be okay. But anyway, the point is, I've seen Friends, 3 times over? I'm good. I don't think I need
to. this is my first binge watch of it. We watched it when it was first, on TV.
Yeah.
Week to week.
Well, it was must-see TV, Brian. It was must-see.
It was part of must-see TV, and we must have seen it.
Yeah.
We must see it. Yeah.
Must see.
Along with classics like Boston Public, Caroline in the City.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of ones that weren't the big ones, like not counting Mad About You or Cheers or.
Boston Public, was that on? That wasn't an
Boston
NBC
Public.
Show.
Yeah, that was part of must see TV for a little while.
Was it? That's a different. I thought that was a different network. No, What is wrong with my brain?
Boston Public was Boston Common. You're right. Boston Public was the teachers. Boston Common was the comedian dude that
I don't remember that.
She was like a hick that came to Boston to the college and
so your favorite one then of the night.
Yeah.
This one. Because you love a good hillbilly in the city story.
I love a good hillbilly. Yeah. Actually, this one I kind of like. Because it wasn't yokel humor. It wasn't like, every joke was it, oh, where do I put my possum? Is there a place in my locker where I can put my possum?
Yeah, it wasn't quite like that. That's true. No, I have a very vague memory of it. It's very.
Who was that comedian? Because he was great for, you know, like he was big for a while. And then he just kind of disappeared. Boston Common. TV
show, right?
Series.
Oh, Anthony Clark.
Boyd Pritchett. Yeah, who's it? Anthony Clark.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he did have a moment there, and then what are we doing now? Nothing? Oh, there's things, but not a lot.
No.
He kind of quit in 06, and then a couple things since, but yeah, weird. Weird.
That show featured a young Zach Galifianakis.
Oh.
1990 lasted one season, 1996, 1997, part of the must-see TV lineup.
Was he between a couple of ferns?
he was those ferns were but a rising bud in a vase or in a planter.
Quick note, Brian may or may not have to be pulled away from the show at a moment's notice because there's a sprinkler man waiting for him at some point.
Sprinkler man!
Yeah, so just don't be shocked if he has to peel away and is not here for a period of time. That may or may not happen. We'll see. Hey, I might actually hurt somebody. I gotta do something about these dreams I'm having. I kicked my wife so
hard.
And it was a dream where I was in an elevator being chased by some kind of crazed monkeys or something. I don't remember. Some kind of weird creature that was after us. And I was in an elevator and I was in there with some other survivors and the elevator slowly shutting, kind of horror movie style. And these creatures are, you know, hurling themselves at the elevator. And I do one last swoop kick with my foot to stop the monkeys. And then I wake up kicking my wife. So, yeah, I don't know what to do about that.
This is why my grandparents slept in separate beds, actually separate rooms even.
Really? So wait, is that why? Because one of them was kicking?
No, I don't know if that's why. Okay. probably was something, right? Like something had to irritate one of them to the point of like, oh, you snore or you fart, you like explosive farts in the middle of the night or whatever.
Yeah.
But so they had separate rooms for as long as I knew them.
Wow. If you're going to go full Laura Rob Petrie and have separate beds. Something's
it's
up.
Even like they over Petrie'd, right? Like at least those two could stand being in the same room together.
Wow, I can't even imagine that. That's so weird to me. But yeah, I kicked her. Maybe I can because she doesn't want to get kicked anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I booted maybe, her. Booted her good.
Maybe you need a body pillow between the two of you.
Maybe I thought about that. Maybe you get one of those waifu weirdo things from Japan. You know, with the
you wake up kicking the waifu.
Yeah, kicking the waifu. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I guess what I'm saying is if there's any like nightmare dream experts out there who like, here's what you do to stop kicking people in your own bed, let me know. Know what you got, that'd be great.
when you have one of those, do people come over and say, hey, what's your waifu password?
Ah, nice. Yeah, and then they say what? You're right.
Sure. Build on to this crumbling facade of a joke, Scott.
No, it's not working. It's falling off. It's sloughing off the edge like mud. I can't do it. Okay, so the chat suggests perhaps it's because I finished up, Resident Evil 8 last night. Village.
Oh, finished it. Good. You're done with it.
All done.
Never playing that. Putting that disc. I guess you bought the digital.
Oh yeah.
But never clicking on that button again.
Well, that's the idea. However, the game is very tempting with its like play us again because we're gonna give you this thing and play us again.
Sure.
Give you
DLC. Thing.
More than you normally see, but I don't think I can do it. I can't play that baby part. Like I was all at the end I was like, oh John, I don't know, maybe with these extra guns and this unlimited ammo, this might be, you know. And he goes, well, what about the baby segment? I went, oh, forget it. Never mind. I forgot.
The baby, the one that chases you under the
basement baby. It was horrible.
Basement baby, yes.
It was horrendous. Why didn't you say taint baby?
Tate and baby, because you had some name for it. There was some other thing that you found in that place that you called like the taint monster or something, right? Or am I
don't remember.
Am I just so focused on the goo that I'm going to have to squirt into my bike pants this weekend?
Oh yeah, dude, gotta get that butter, bum butter, whatever. What's it called?
Dunaway came up with the best name. I don't know why we never thought about this, but taint paint.
Ah, that's good.
Taint paint. That's you gotta put another coat of taint paint on.
Yeah, you can't go ride without a couple of coats of taint paint, or else what are you doing? Anyway, so yeah, don't kick your wife, I guess, is the takeaway.
Crease is also pretty good. Pops in her car.
Crease grease?
One. Crease grease. That's a little more visual.
Ooh, that's gross. That's freaking foul. All right. Cooch grease? That's worse, too. No more grease. Grease is gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the word grease is the problem I have with that.
So I was looking at the famous things that happened on the 22nd of June list. Okay. I'd like to do this, you know, sometimes and
sure
bring it up on the show. And I found one that I wish we had done. Sadly, okay. we were in the middle of rebelling against these people and went and did our own thing. But in 1772, slavery was outlawed in England.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of wish we would...
They figured that out pretty early, huh?
Yeah. I wish we would have gone, yeah, we also don't like slaves, and we're not going to have those when we go establish our new colony.
We should do that. Like, we're watching across the pond, like, oh, yeah, we should do that here. Yeah, we should keep up with the
Joneses.
The Bentleys.
Yeah, the Bentleys. Not the Joneses. The Joneses would be here. But yeah, like the whole idea that we, I mean, 1772 was right around the time we started, you know, there was talk of rebellion, right? Like of us seceding from the Queen. And it just seems like it would have been a lot easier on us as a historical fact had we not continued to have slavery. I just think it would have been better for America. Right. Had we not had this huge, ugly, freaking pox on us that'll never leave.
What does that alternate timeline look like, I wonder, you know?
I don't know. Probably better, I would say.
Speaking of which, have you dipped into Loki yet?
No, Loki yet. All right. I think at this stage I'm going to binge the whole damn thing when it's done.
Might as well.
Yeah, I'm already this far. Why not, you know?
Do we know what's after Loki? Because for a while we've known it's going to be WandaVision, then Falcon Winter Soldier, and then Loki. But do we know what's immediately, quote unquote, immediately after?
No. Is there another TV thing right after?
I don't know if it's right after.
What is it?
What If, maybe? Or, there's not a Doctor Strange.
No.
So there's What If, there's...
What is the next MCU show? Oh, there's literally a thing on fan-sided here. It says...
good. Letting us know the order.
There's a Skrull
invasion thing, a Hawkeye, a Ms. Marvel series, the She-Hulk series.
Oh, you're right. What If is the next thing.
What If is next. Okay, but we don't have a date yet on What If, right?
No. Oh, wait, hold on. It says here, should land on Disney Plus before the September 3rd arrival of Shang-Chi in the theaters.
Okay.
Should 10 deals. Yeah.
God, that's a big gap.
It's a big gap. It's a big gap. I say that every time I go to the mall. Whoa, that's a big gap.
Oh, that's a big gap. Yeah. Every time I put on butt butter, I go, "Oh, that's a big gap."
So there's that. And then let's jump ahead to 1864.
I'm sorry. We were still talking about.
No, it's all good. We can jump all over the place. Confederate General A.P. Hill. Turns back a federal flanking movement on the Weldon Railroad near Pittsburgh, Virginia. And that was just a reminder that some nearly 100 years later, we were still fighting. We were fighting a war within ourselves about slavery. So well done, everybody. Good job, America. And then we cured syphilis. Well, we found the cure for syphilis in 1910. Oh, yeah, baby. So that, Brian, the reason you and I don't have syphilis now is thanks to German bacteriologist Paul Ehrlich, who announced a definitive cure for syphilis in 1910 on this day.
It's just penicillin, isn't it?
No, it's
it's something different.
Something specific, but based on penicillin, because penicillin came before that.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Hold on. How do you cure the old?
Oh yes, please put that in your Google history. How do you cure syphilis? Let's see what targeted ads you start getting now.
Yeah. There wasn't enough of those. And then 1911, the very next year, King George V of England was crowned. Well done. And then let's jump.
This morning, my Echo told me that it is both Kissing Day, National Kissing Day, and National Onion Rings Day.
Oh, my. How are you going to celebrate? Yes. You going to do anything?
I'm going to go kiss an onion ring at lunch.
Sweet. That's probably better than eating a whole bunch of them because they'll weigh you down for your ride this weekend.
Yes, exactly. That. No, I think I'm riding to Tokyo Joe's for a rice bowl.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Rice still isn't the best thing, you know, but it's better than riding half a block further and getting a mod pizza.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, here's a final one that's a little bit more in our history zone. In the year 1970, you and I were all of 6 to 8 months old when this happened. Oh, no, almost a year, it looks like. President Richard M. Nixon. Oh, you know the one?
That's the monster, the zombie version of it. I am not a crook. I am not the undead.
He signed the 26th Amendment, which lowered the voting age to 18. It feels like, had that been today, I don't know a single current Republican who would vote for the lowering of the voting age to 18. Because 18-year-olds don't vote. I mean, some of them just don't vote, but they don't typically vote Republican. And it feels like perhaps in today's environment, they're trying to shut down all possible voting leaks. They would probably not let this one in. So, so I guess thanks, Nixon, for that. Yeah. I guess. Well done there. You were
a crook, but you did a good thing that day.
Could we just, let's do the Cinemitch voice. Could we just restrict voting to old white men, please? Just get that.
I will hire.
Oh, you do that. I don't know why
I was blessed with a good Mitch McConnell voice.
You were, man. That is a great one. Yeah.
As you know, in 1970, they made it possible for the voting.
He's such a turtle. Gosh dang it, what a turtle. All right. Oh, and Mark Chapman pled guilty to killing John Lennon today. So there's another one for you.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a bit of a bummer. That's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
Well, there you go. That's all the today and... In fascinating history you can stand. Now the news. That's right, it's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Have you heard about the podcast called The Dad Chronicle from Alex Albisu? It's an amazing look at fatherhood from lots of diverse perspectives. Give it a listen wherever you get your podcast. That's The Dad Chronicle.
Very nice. Hey, HBO Max, this is a couple days old now, so we're sort of just now getting to it. But HBO Max accidentally sent out a strange email to all of its subscribers. Brian, you were out of town, but did you get the email?
I did get this email, yeah. And I really just said, oh, it's just somebody doing a test. And this comes up all the time.
But, yeah, it happens all the time. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why this one.
But the resulting memes and stuff were a lot funnier than when it happens with Tropical Smoothie Land or whatever it is.
And it really took off, like became... all anybody was talking about online for like 2 days, which surprised me because I've had plenty of error messages from emails, and I don't know why this one was a big one, but it feels like anything lately that happens with Warner Brothers, HBO, Batman, DC Comics, anything in that realm of those companies seems to be meme-y, and I don't know why it's so meme-y. I don't get it. But anyway, they did attribute it finally. There was a comment later in the day where they said, yes, it was the intern. Who did it? Confusion and amusement, overtook Twitter on Thursday and Friday when HBO Max sent a bizarre email to its subscribers. Subscribers received the email on Thursday with the subject line, Integration Test Email Number 1, and the body of the email only containing one sentence, quote, this template is used by integration tests only. So all the jokes about... oh, I can't wait for season 2 of Integration Test Email 1.
I'm going to wait and binge Integration Test.
I'm going to go ahead and rip through that. Yeah. It took off. Users immediately turned to Twitter to voice their concerns, many creating memes saying that it should be the next show that HBO is airing. I'm not going to read these tweets because that's dumb. Let's see. Okay. Director James Gunn tweeted that he hoped the integration's email, quote, is somehow the first step in extremely clever viral marketing for Peacemaker, his upcoming show.
Ha!
I didn't know that was his.
I didn't know that either. But
no idea. Peacemaker was his.
Monica Lewinsky, who famously was an intern, replied on Twitter, "Dear intern, it gets better. P.S. Don't wear a beret for a while, okay?"
That's awesome. So hold on. This Peacemaker series is about that character, DC character, right?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, from... Yes, John Cena. He's in the show. Okay. So there's this... I guess he's doing like... This is almost Disney Plus in its nature. They're doing a Peacemaker spinoff television show on HBO Max based on the character from Suicide Squad.
Oh, very cool.
With John Cena in the main role as Peacemaker. So
nice. Starts in 2022, according to this.
Yeah. I guess
so. It's going to be a while. Yeah. But
hold your breath.
I think we get Titan season 3 before that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Which they just put out a thing, some images for, and that looks good.
They did. Yeah.
Titan's good. F Batman, they say on there.
Yes, they say that.
Yeah, they're into that. Anyway, so that's that.
So good on you, HBO Max intern.
Yeah.
It's just so easy to blame the intern.
It really is, anything, right?
Yeah. Anything you do wrong, you can just say, "Oh, sorry, that was from an intern. I accidentally sent out a Kickstarter update that wasn't meant to go out," or whatever. Whether you have an intern or not, so easy to blame.
My guess is it was someone in the it's not like a social media department type, you know, entry level or whatever. It's somebody in engineering, somebody who has access to their huge blowout email systems. Like, I don't know why they would have done this. Like, what template lets you hit send before you're done? Like, I don't know. That seems crazy to me, but.
Yeah. Wasn't it an intern that set up a press conference at the Four Seasons landscaping and.
Yeah.
You know, the one next to the dildo shop.
Yeah, the one by the dildo shop. You know, good old-fashioned Americana down that street.
Right.
All right. Moving on. Oh, yeah, they always blame it. You're right. Remember that thing? I mean, sorry to keep bringing up these GOP people, but Ted Cruz that time, he liked the the porn image.
The porn,
porn video, and then said it was his intern that did it. Same deal. I think anytime someone blames it on the intern, we should be suspicious that it wasn't actually the intern.
So too, exactly. The Exxon Valdez. Oh, sorry, I let my intern drive the boat for a little while. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'd rather somebody like him just come out and go, "I'm into porn." That's my.
Is your Ted Cruz?
That's my Ted Cruz. I'm really into porn, especially stepdaughter stepmom porn, and that's what that video was. And I really like it. America the Beautiful. Anyway, something like that. Here's your next story about a donkey. And I try to get these on the show anytime we can have a discussion about a donkey. I don't know why. I like donkeys.
Always good to have some donkey news.
I agree.
In the news.
Yeah, it feels like a band name. Donkey on the Run is the name.
On the Run. Yeah. The new song by Sweet.
Sweet.
Donkey on the Run.
There you go. Here's the headline. Donkey on the Run in the same town that dealt with a runaway steer. Boy, these people just can't catch a break. It's the same Rhode Island town.
Or cattle.
Or cattle.
That's what they can't catch.
There you go. Nice. The same Rhode Island town that had to deal with a runaway steer earlier this year is now investigating reports of a donkey on the loose. The donkey was first spotted on Johnston about 7 p.m. Sunday on the town line with Scituate.
Scituate. Sure.
What a weird town name.
It is. Could be a silent C, could be Scituate, but that seems even weirder.
Yeah, where y'all live. Scituate.
Yeah.
How many Scituate. People? There's like three of us. It was reported again at about 8:30 p.m. when the police arrived at the scene. He was gone. Well, it was donkeys, like a freaking stealth ninja. Let's see. Here we go again, says Mayor Joseph Paulicina. He told the radio show on Monday. Says he was concerned that the donkey might cause a car crash. No one has reported a missing donkey. But Paulicina noted that there are several farms in the area. Animal control will patrol the area until they find the damn thing. It's a 1,500-pound, for our European listeners, 600.
No, this is the steer they're talking about here.
Oh, this is the steer. Oh, okay. Yep. 1,500-pound steer or 680 kilograms. Okay. That's space points for measuring.
There you go.
Escaped on its way to a slaughterhouse and spent nearly 2 months on the lamb... in Johnston until it was captured in late March. I don't know if they still ate him. They still slaughtered him.
Sure.
Would you still?
It was probably a little. Well, yeah. I mean,
he's a little gamey.
Just from hanging out and not doing what
from getting more exercise than a steer usually gets.
That's fantastic.
So could they just play some Smash Mouth somewhere in town and Donkey will just make his way over there?
Yeah, kick the door open and go, "Somebody wants to," right when he kicks the door.
Right. Yeah.
That's my memory of Shrek. Van is all into Shrek now. He sat through Shrek for the first time. Normally he's a little wiggly during a movie, whatever, some Disney thing.
Yeah.
He sits down to watch Shrek on a fluke. Taylor's just like, "I'll show him Shrek. Why not?" Mm-hmm. He sits there and doesn't budge.
Wow.
Barely blinks, watches the entire hour and a half. It ends and he cries because it's not still going. I don't know what that even means.
Oh my gosh.
What does that even mean? He doesn't understand what's going on that screen. He doesn't get it.
Well, if he's sad that that Shrek 1 is done, then give him Shrek 2 and Shrek 3 and he'll really be sad.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I ever saw a Shrek sequel. I think I've only seen the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Are they any good, or are they just...
It follows the trope, right? So Shrek 2 is adventures with the romantic partner that's introduced in Shrek 1. And then Shrek 3 is all about the baby.
Mm. So when do you get the cat? The
Puss in Boots, I think, is in 2.
Is that a separate thing, or... It's not its own thing, right? Or was it?
It was its own. It was introduced in Shrek 2, and then he got his own movie. Kind of like the Minions.
Ironheart in the chat says, 2 is good, 3 is bad, 4 is good.
That was a Shrek 4? Was it called Shrek Forever? Or
Shrek
was Beyond?
Was the E a 4? Is that how you did it? Okay. There was a Shrek 4. Really?
Was there? Oh, Shrek Forever After. Yeah, there we go.
So it really did have a 4 in the name.
I thought it was a 4 Ever After.
Yeah. I'm looking real quick here to see how that did. Shrek Forever After performed well at the box office, but only achieved a 58% Rotten Tomatoes average rating. Whereas that same year, Horton Hears a Who received an 80%. Well, all right then.
It's, you know, hey, these movies did well enough to probably put Mike Myers into a really nice house.
Yeah, probably, that alone.
Of all the things he's done, this is probably the thing that really loaded his bank account, right?
Yeah, really padded it out. Made it so he didn't have to do shit.
Or,
but he spent it all because now he's doing like Uber Eats ads with Dana Carvey. Yeah. Looking like old wax candles, those two. I don't know what to think of it.
Swing.
Swing. He can't swing very hard anymore.
No.
Swing. I mean, I love seeing them together like that. But
I do too. But you know, yeah.
They're old.
Give us more of that crazy gong show thing that he did with his weird British alter ego fake character. He did a great job with that. You knew it was Mike Myers. But there were times that you kind of forgot it was Mike Myers.
And that's not going on anymore? They're done with that?
No, I think they're done with that.
It was a year. Yeah, 2017 to 2018.
Yeah, it's a bummer because, I mean, Will Arnett was on there. Jerry Seinfeld, I think, was on one episode as a judge.
Well, they should bring that back. That was great.
The equivalent to J.P. Morgan and Jamie Farr.
I love how long it went where people weren't sure it was him. That was my favorite bit because early on it was like, people are
right
like,
when they were doing promo videos and stuff,
they
did a great job of keeping all that under wraps.
All right, well, there you have it. What? Dana Carvey's brother invented video toaster? Larry Kenobi in the chat says, Is that true? Hold on. Video toaster. We're going to find out if this is true on the Wikipedia article for video all toaster, right, which fine. I used a bunch back in the day.
Okay. I don't think I know what Video Toaster is. Is that just like a ripping video software?
Oh, no. It was like, you could do like character animation and I don't even know what to compare it to. It was like a really cool thing. And it was on Macs and PCs back in the day.
Okay. That sounds familiar. I want to know who invented the DVD logo that bounces from corner to, bounces around from side to side of the DVD.
That guy never gets enough credit. You know,
really doesn't. Yeah.
Let's see. Cottage industry, not unlike the success of the Macintosh desktop publishing system. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, basically, this is like Video Toaster would precede like home, you know, computer editing would precede like things like TriCaster, you know, like you could do live stuff with Video Toaster for like TV stations and stuff. I'm trying to see this, the Carvey part. Hold on.
Carvey part.
Yeah, I don't see anything here about.
Oh, that could be like a.
It is Brad Carvey. Holy shit.
Brad Carvey. There we go.
Look at him. It looks like his brother, but not him.
It looks like his brother dressed up as another guy.
Yeah, he was an extra in Wayne's World 2 and wore a t-shirt that said it was a Video Toaster test pattern on it. Okay, that's great. I didn't know that. That's great. That's great. Your nerd brother is a video. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for that. That was an awesome little bit of trivia there. Yeah, it was Amiga, right? The Amiga had it. That was where it started, I want to say.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say I always forget about the Amiga. Like, it was a... The only thing I ever did on an Amiga was play Zork. I guess it must have been the first Zork at my former roommate's house when we'd go there to stay there for a weekend. Hmm. Be like, all right, you know, his girlfriend comes over. I'm gonna go play Zork. You guys go canoodle in the corner.
Yeah, you go test your
go do birth do whatever control. You're gonna do. Yeah,
test your diaphragm. See how it goes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, and Brian will be over here taking the North Road to pick up the sword and enter the kingdom. I remember my use case for Amiga was very low. I think I may have played a couple of games on some, like you, like some friends had one or something, but it was never in our wheelhouse, either growing up or later. I guess it would have been late 80s, early 90s. We had a Commodore 64, which preceded all that. I'm a little fuzzy on the history, but anyway, Amiga had potential. They could have gone on to be like the biggest, coolest brand of all time and still be here today, and they'd be making phones or some shit, but I don't know what happened there. All right, here's a story for you.
Okay, lay it on me.
A digital art... Oh, this is great because it has pictures, so chat room, good news, we have pictures. You guys like pictures. This is pretty cool. A digital artist reinvented the Mona Lisa, and it's pretty cool, but a little creepy, maybe. So the idea is like, hey, what if I drew the Mona Lisa today and, you know, with digital tools and sort of, you know, kind of tried to keep the spirit of the thing, but redo it the way I would paint this lady if I saw her or knew her or whatever. And that's the result. Let's see. Digital artists created a series of works that use hyper-technical neural networks to bring well-known faces hurtling into the modern world. So, Mona Lisa, for example. What would they look like if they were around now? Here's the guy. Denise Shirev used his technical skills, some top-level digital art software, to upscale old pictures and video and turn his attention to portraits of old. And you can see this summary of his stuff in this little video here. But I don't know. I think Mona Lisa is pretty cute.
She is. Hubba hubba.
Yeah, I'd go out with her. You know. I mean, not now. I'm married. But, oh, look at this. He did the old fart couple with the pitchfork. American.
Oh, really? The American Gothic.
Yeah.
There's the girl with the pearl earring. That one does not look as good. There's some weirdness going on with the bandana or her scarf, headscarf, just kind of blending into her forehead.
Yeah, that seems bad. It's a skin condition. This guy's kind of cool. The Rembrandt Night's Watch guy.
The dude who I think was Grant Wood's dentist. It was like his dentist and his sister or something, the post for American Gothic. The dude looks great. The woman definitely looks like CGI.
Oh, she looks horrendous in this. That's bad. Yeah. The dude's fine.
She looks like a Lawnmower Man, CGI.
Yeah, it's bad. I will say, though, so American Gothic has is a famous painting, and it really is famous.
Yes, yes.
To me, it's so depressing. Like, they're just like, I'm living in this house, I'm never moving anywhere, the government will have to come take it from me, I got this pitchfork, and my wife's looking all pissed. Like, it's just the most pissed off, angry looking, grumpy ass painting. And I guess that's the point. Oh, it's a brother and sister, is it?
American Gothic? Well, one J.C. Calhoun says father and daughter. Taxi cab says brother and sister.
Really?
I thought it was, so it's definitely his dentist, right? It's figures were Wood's sister, Nan Wood Graham, and their dentist, Byron McKeeby. So they are not relations.
Dr. McKeeby.
Dr. McKeeby. Hey, Dr. McKeeby, do you mind posing with a pitchfork while I paint you for a little while? Stand here next to my sister.
Well, after you come in for your cleaning, I'll take care of that. That'll be fine, says Dr. McKeeby.
Like the painting is to represent a father and a daughter, but they're not really father and daughter.
So that is supposed to be representing a father-daughter, though.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I always thought they were a couple, like married.
They look like they'd be right around the same age, don't they?
Kind of. But then in the new one, he went younger with the daughter and older with the man. So yeah. Maybe I've just read that wrong all these years. I don't know. I like that painting, though. Like, whatever. I'd hang it. I'd put it on my wall.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just like how many times it's been parodied, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When are we going to get a neural network version of Whistler's mother? Actually, how about Birth of Venus? Let's just get that one.
Yeah, or David's penis. Just kidding.
Is that what that one's called?
What's that
called?
The
Birth of Venus or David's penis? One of the two.
What am I thinking of? Well, the Statue of David is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's got the little leaf or whatever covering his ding-dong. Or does he have anything
on
him?
No, he has nothing.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of...
The touching God's finger thing where Adam's got the little...
Oh, yeah, right. The Birth of Man?
And it might even be a wiener.
Not the Birth of Man.
It's effed up.
It's Birth of... What is that called? The Origination of Man? No, the Something of Man. The Sistine Chapel.
The tiny, shrunken penis of man.
The tiny fig leaf of man.
Ascent? Ascent?
Ascent of Man?
Is that right? I don't know. I used to know all this. I took multiple art history courses.
I know. Every year, every semester, I had to take a art history class, and I've forgotten everything.
Yeah, same. I mean, I have kind of like a general, like a way broader appreciation across the board, but I don't remember details about that stuff.
Let's see.
I used to love
that. Maybe it doesn't have a name. It's just The Creation of Adam is what it's called.
Oh, The Creation of Adam. Well, where'd you get Ascent from? I, of course, says Ascent of Man.
Sure.
All right. That's if they ever did a remake of Scent of a Woman, but called it Scent of Man and replaced all the characters that were male to female and all the females to male, who would you put in the role of
Al Pacino character?
Al Pacino, yeah. Who would you
put? Jane Lynch.
Oh, that's pretty good. You didn't even hesitate.
No, that's exactly why.
That's pretty good.
If I was a half the woman I used to be, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Hoo-ah.
Don't even change who they just have them talk like they normally do.
You just keep everything right. You just keep the.
Oh, that's good.
You know what movie I thought was rife for a remake? Really, just a comic book that is rife for a brand new adaptation. It's been long enough.
What's that?
Is Rocketeer. We need a new.
Oh, I agree.
Rocketeer film.
Yeah, I agree. That was a cool movie for its time. They could really kick it out of the cheese this
Disney
time.
Plus, right? Or Disney owns it, don't they?
I think so. I think that's them. I think it's a Marvel deal.
Disney Plus series, The Rocketeer. Make it happen.
Who owns The Rocketeer? I think it is Disney, and if it is, they have no excuse. Hold on. It was created by Pacific Comics at the time, but who owns it
Stevens,
now?
Dave Stevens, right?
Who owns this now? Walt Disney. There it is. Well, yeah, Walt Disney made the movie. It doesn't say whether they own the rights, though.
Yeah, they may not own the rights, but they definitely did the first movie. So,
IDW currently
too close
has the
to Iron Man. No, it's like
not even
the opposite.
Close. Yeah. It's more like
it's a dude who's not technologically inclined.
Yeah, plus it's kind of like I don't know. It's almost steampunk in a weird way. It's awesome.
Yeah,
Rocketeer is cool.
This would be a great time to resurface that. Oh, doorbell ringing. All right.
Oh, okay. Brian's getting the door. Be right back with Brian. Brian Ibbett's tales of dude, what's going to do his sprinklers. I'm going to pause the audio portion of the show.
Okay.
How'd it go? Everything good?
Good. He's about to start ripping up the lawn. And I'm watching him right now. There he goes. He's got a big old flat-headed shovel. He's ripping up the lawn.
Oh, he's doing it the old way. It's not like some kind of big machinery or anything. He's just...
Yeah. And here's the problem. It's like, I got to figure out the best way to give him control of the sprinklers, because I have a Rachio system that controls everything, right? Mm-hmm. And it's here on my phone.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't know how to use this thing.
No.
The app.
No.
So.
No.
He's kind of an old man.
He does it the old way, Brian. It's the old ways.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a break.
Speaking up. So, yeah.
When we come back, we'll check on him, and we'll also talk to our good pal, Justin Robert Young. He's going to help us make sense of that mayoral situation in New York, because I don't understand how it works.
Okay.
And I just think I would like to see, what's his name? Chang. David Chang. Richard Chang.
Yang? Are you talking about Yang?
Yang. Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang, yeah.
I want to see him win, because I think he's great.
Jury can't come soon enough, can he?
He can even help me with the name. Anyway, that's all coming up in a minute. Before that, though, song selections from the vast library of Brian Ibbett.
Yeah, this is great. This is a project from indie singer-songwriter Noah Dickey of the Las Vegas duo Coast West Unrest. And then another guy, James McAllister, who's worked with Sufjan Stevens, The National, and Taylor Swift. They got a debut collaborative album. They worked together on Reclaim Records. Big thanks to Reclaim Records and to Corey Council for sending this over. The brand new album is called Somewhere Right Now. This is the first single from the album. It is called Clap Clap. This has kind of a Beck, older Beck vibe to it, I think.
Yeah.
You guys will have to let me know what you think. Here is the band The Tell from their brand new album Somewhere Right Now and a song called Clap Clap.
Well, it makes me want to get a devil's haircut. Here it comes. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Drink water. Why? Because fish has sex in it.
But now you have special help. Sit down and listen, punk. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. That song again.
That song again. That is the brand new album from The Tell. The song is called Clap Clap. The new album is called Somewhere Right Now.
If I was a doctor and I had a room full of patients, I'd go clap, clap, syphilis.
Penicillin. Who needs it? Who's got clap, clap,
clap, clap, clap, clap, clap. Anyway, clap. Very nice. How's a quick status update? How's the dig going there with Grandpa Joe?
He walked across the street to get his tool, another tool. He's about to ring my doorbell. I can tell he's walking up the thing. Go ahead, bring jury in. I'll be right back.
Jury's incoming. He's struck gold out there. Who knows what he found, but we'll find out shortly when he comes back and lets us know. In the meantime, listen to this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Joining us on the line right now is one Justin Robert Young, who is in a room I don't recognize. Justin, welcome back to the show. Where the heck are you?
I'm in New York City.
What?
Long Island City.
I had no idea you were going to be in New York talking about New York. That's a mind blower. Whoa.
I spent the last day on the campaign trail with a few of the candidates.
Wow. I had no idea. Like when you texted me yesterday, you probably knew that I would get all freaked out today knowing that you were not there. But that's amazing. That's so cool.
No, to be honest, my brain was melted from walking around hot ass New York City. So you just asked me what I wanted to talk about. And I said, this thing I've been doing.
That's hilarious. You probably passed my sister-in-law, Sarah, and her husband. Well, you probably didn't because it's a huge city, but they happen to be there.
I'm sure. So. Yeah. You know, it's so easy to bump into people here. You know, you're just constantly running into them.
That's too funny, though, that you guys are there at the same time. Oh, well, all right. That's cool. Because now I'm even more.
Is he covering the mayor's race now?
No, he's there for a work thing and then slight sort of vacation at the same time. So they're just hanging out. But I guess I know so little about this particular election. When is this happening? Like, when's the vote?
Literally today.
Oh my
today
gosh.
Today is primary election day here in New York City, both Republicans and Democrats, although the Republican race is fairly, consequentially non-existent. It's Curtis Sliwa, the organizer of the Guardian Angels, for anybody who remembers back in the 80s, and a guy named Mateo. Mateo was likely to win. He's got the money, although Sliwa was endorsed by Rudy Giuliani yesterday, and what I could only imagine was a very crazy rally.
Yeah.
But either of those two are going to get run over by the Democratic candidates, and that is really where all the energy is right now.
So who's Andrew Yang's in the mix? Is he anywhere near? The chat room was talking earlier about how he's like fourth in the polls or something. I thought he was doing better than that. So shows what I.
He was. He was actually the prohibitive front runner for the first few months of this race. And as of the most recent Ipsos poll that came out yesterday, he is second. Now, he is second to Eric Adams by about an 8-point margin. But what is kind of unknown in this race are a few things. Number one, this is the first ranked choice voting election that is going to happen. That is, you know, this is probably among the more high profile in terms of money spent and media coverage of it, ranked choice voting elections ever in American history.
Yeah.
You know, New York City and specifically the Democratic primary is obviously something that a lot of people pay attention to. But the front runners are, in this order, according to the new Ipsos poll, the frontrunner Eric Adams, former cop, current Brooklyn Borough president, Andrew Yang, obviously an outsider, Catherine Garcia, who is a former sanitation head here in New York City, and then Maya Wiley, who is pretty much the progressive champion right now.
Okay, and this, I'm looking at Eric Adams right now, former police officer, seems to have a lot of experience, sort of like, with, you know, if you're a voter, you're probably looking at him going, oh yeah, he knows what it's like on the ground. Like he's not just, you know, he's not some.
Well, that's the big question in this election is, based on the polling, the thing that New Yorkers seem to care the most about, or at least the New Yorkers that were polled, is public safety. Crime is up, murders are up, shootings are up here, and they as they are in a lot of places through the pandemic and now even into the recovery. That means if it's a public safety election, and again, politics is sometimes just this simple, what do people care the most about? Which candidate has made themselves the biggest to be able to solve it? And so in a public safety election, sometimes it's hard to beat the cop. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. seems like he's maybe got this one locked. So in Andrew Yang's case, sorry, yeah. I don't mean to be such a, I'm just a dummy about it. I always liked what he would say in like the Democratic primary times, you know, when they were all debating. And I kind of like some of his ideas and I like where he comes from. And I don't know, there's just something about that guy that appealed to me just as a, you know, a side watcher of those events back when, you know, the Democrats were fighting over who was going to run.
Yeah.
Is he like, does he live in New York? Do you have to live in New York to do this?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You do have to live in New York, and yes, Andrew Yang does live in New York, okay. Although he got really beat up by Eric Adams for spending a lot of time during the pandemic at his home in New Paltz, which is just outside of New York, and then moving down to Georgia for a brief period of time to help campaign for Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff during that Senate runoff in January. Now, Eric Adams, on the other hand, has faced his own controversy of where he lives as it became apparent that he might live in New Jersey. He said that he has slept at his office throughout the pandemic in Brooklyn and that he also owns an apartment in Park Slope. They went to go look at the apartment. He invited, when this controversy broke, Eric Adams invited the press into his apartment. When it became fairly obvious that it was his son's apartment, including the fact that there was his son's shoes and clothes all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Eric Adams is a famous vegan, and the fridge did not have vegan food in it. He also once said in one of the mayoral debates that the one thing he couldn't live without was bubble baths, and that apartment only has a stall shower.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you maybe don't want to be famous for that and then show him a shower that or the thing that doesn't have a tub.
And you can't take a bubble bath.
Yeah, you can't. So you can't
like put saran wrap around it and fill the whole thing, but that would be pretty difficult.
Yeah, it would be. So that's interesting. And once again, reminds me that everyone's sort of full of shit. Who's in this race? Who have you, since you've been hanging out with some of the campaigns, who do you think is the least full of shit? And who should New Yorkers rush out to vote for today on vote day today?
Well, remember, it is ranked choice voting. So you get to vote for as up to five candidates. Oh, and that has kind of led to a lot of questions about exactly how people want to rank, how many you want to rank. You don't have to rank five. You can only vote one if you want.
Right.
And what the strategy is to it. I was speaking with a friend of mine last night who is like a true blue progressive and showed me who she was like texting back and forth with a friend of hers she should vote for. And it was like one through five, every progressive candidate that's running. And so we went back and forth on like, all right, well, if you want to do that, then that is definitely going to benefit all those progressives because they will show that like, okay, well, you got X amount of first place votes, X amount of second place votes, X amount of third place votes. But if there is a candidate that you really don't want to be in there, like let's say you are for Maya Wiley, who is the big progressive, but you really don't like Eric Adams. You think Eric Adams would be terrible.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, the other argument is that you start kind of ranking dog food and the brands by which you would like to eat them least, right? And so you would deny Eric Adams any kind of vote, which you probably would anyway if you were a progressive, but you rank Yang second or you rank Catherine Garcia third because you would rather see them get the votes than Eric Adams, or you'd rather see a candidate that's not Eric Adams eventually get the nomination.
So outside of California and Texas with governor stories, when there's switchovers there, I feel like New York City, specifically the city and a mayor contest, nobody gets the kind of airtime that it does. So I guess, you know, it's America's city. It's everyone thinks of New York when you think of America, I guess. I don't know how that works, but it's interesting, right? Because you never hear about Kansas City just got a, like no one cares, but they care about New York. Why do we care about New York so much? What do you think the fascination is? Is it just simply that it's New York or is there more to it?
Because since the invention of the television and radio, the biggest television and radio stations are based here. You know, when you look at your nightly news, everybody lives in New York City. When you look at your 24-hour cable channels, these are studios and talent that are based in New York City. So, of course, the media has a New York City bias in the same way that political media has the Washington, D.C. bias. It's not that the Washington Nationals per se are a very important franchise, but in politics, when they do well, you hear about it a lot through the political media, such as the same thing when it comes to New York and the mayoral race. But let me tell you this. If nobody who is listening to my voice gives a rat's ass about who the new inhabitant of Gracie Mansion will be this November, then you have something in common with almost every New Yorker that I have met while I am here. Because this race, while it has had an outsized footprint in political media, starved for any kind of election or controversy coming off a sort of nonstop political crucible over the last 6 years, The vibe here is very, 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 very minimal. I don't think I have seen, if I have, it has been peripheral, I haven't noticed it, anybody wearing a t-shirt or a hat or a button that is for any of these candidates if they're not working for them. I have seen precious few signs in windows and stuff like that. So to compare this even to... you know, let's say like the New Hampshire caucus or the Iowa caucus or even what was happening in Georgia in January. It's like night and day. People in the city here, I think, are very, very, very excited for the city to be opening up. I think they were excited to not care about politics for a little bit. And since this is a heavily, heavily, heavily Democratic city, I think that they're just like, whatever. There's a lot of people that are very tuned on to this. But I think that's another factor in finding out exactly who wins, because I do think this is going to be a low turnout election.
It feels a little bit like people in North Vegas and asking them how they feel about the Strip. They don't care. They live there. They don't care. Like it's kind of like a, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, I think it's in another world. I do think that this would be a race that would attract attention because you do have flashy candidates. Andrew Yang is somebody that draws a national media spotlight. He was a big CNN talking head for a while, so a lot of people know him. He's got a gigantic name recognition. Eric Adams is somebody that is a very capable politician, but is somebody that also is, you know, a bit of a prickly pear. He's got kind of one counterpunch when anybody criticizes him, which is that you're racist, which he has stuck to his guns even when he's calling Andrew Yang racist. So it is, you know, there are a lot of characters in this race. I will say, so yesterday I saw Yang, Garcia, and Wiley. I personally found Garcia to be somebody that was, you know, a little bit more, you know, a human, mostly because she was doing the most humbling retail thing that ever happens in politics. So imagine this. Imagine you have decided for the last 6 months that you are going to dedicate your life and turn your family's life upside down so you can say, I should be in charge of damn near 9 million people in America's largest city.
Yeah.
And then 24 hours before the polls open, you're handing out flyers on the street like you are trying to solicit a strip club in Las Vegas. Like, and you are trying to hand people flyers and they just like are like, nah.
Oh, man.
And like, so like the gulf between the self-confidence that it takes to say, yes, I am the savior of 9 million people, to please take my flyer, remember to rank Garcia number one tomorrow. Have you found your polling location? Is just insane. It was actually very, very interesting to watch in person yesterday, and you're going to hear it on the episode of Politics, Politics, Politics that comes out tonight.
Awesome. So do check that out. Also, I noticed a third episode of World's Greatest Con happened this week. You want to say anything about that?
It did.
Fired up.
It did. In the flesh, the third of our World's Greatest Con series, which has had an amazing reaction. Thank you to everybody in the Frog Pants community, the Tadpool, for coming out and supporting that. We were up ahead of Dan Carlin for most of the week last week. We're still in the top 20 of all history podcasts, at the top 200 of all podcasts on Apple Podcasts. If you have not listened to it, now is a great time to get into it. 1 week before the big finale, you've got three episodes that you can binge. And I gotta say, this was a very specific challenge for me as a producer working with Brian, because we were coming off a very emotional episode in episode two, where Brian was talking about the loss of his brother in a way that was very, very vulnerable. And I think extraordinarily touching based on the feedback that we've got. It seems like people agree. But this episode focuses all on the plan. This is about Operation Mincemeat, a plan by British intelligence to try to fool Hitler by washing a corpse ashore in Spain, loaded with misinformation and presuming that the Nazi intelligence will take it to be genuine. So in the second episode, our heroes write a plan. And in episode three, they've got to figure out how to make it real, which you can write a story about a fallen war hero. That's a different story than getting a discarded corpse and making sure that it goes from London to the coast of Spain. It is a bit of a gross episode. I will say that I would not recommend you listen to it while you are eating things, but we do not spare any of the dirty details. And from my point of view, from the production standpoint, I very much wanted to bring you in to moments like when they realize, as they are dressing this corpse, that they have no idea how to get his frozen foot into a boot without it breaking off, and so they decide that they need to thaw it before they put it in there. So you can I would highly encourage everybody to listen to it. This was a real challenge, a fun challenge to put together from a production standpoint. Brian is great as always, and we had a great writer help us out on this one, Meryl Barr.
That's awesome. So go check it out, you guys. It's in full bloom, three episodes in. Go binge it if you haven't started it. And, of course, the Politics, Politics, Politics podcast, which will cover a lot of what you're doing this week. Sounds like you are full of the jury politics and energy this week, and that's fantastic.
Justin, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was a great, great, great day yesterday. I loved being out on the trail, seeing everybody, seeing all the volunteers. And, aside from my brain turning to pudding, sitting outside in the heat, listening to Maya Wiley's 2-hour event, I was thrilled.
Awesome. Take it easy. Try to not get shot or robbed while you're there. Bye now. Right. Not that everybody gets. Okay. So, Brian, update. Old man McGillicuddy still digging into the ground there and doing his thing. What's going on?
He's done. He's done because he found more. He basically found what I told him was the problem and found more than he was expecting. So it's like, oh, I'm going to have to make an appointment. And I did one of those Chandler gestures.
Oh, I hate stuff like so, this. I hate sprinkler shit. It drives me crazy.
I do too. Yeah. So, but he found where the leak was. He's like, oh yeah, I can fix this in no time at all. Go ahead and hit the button and turn it off. I'm like, well, this is where the other problem is that I'll hit stop. It won't turn off. He's got to go into the manifold to one of the valves and turn it off there.
Yeah. The old manifold, man. Don't want to go in there. Exactly. Stay out of the manifold is what I always say.
Right, right.
All right. I forgot to play this. Hold on.
The jury will now retire.
Gosh dang it. Keep forgetting. All right, some quick reminders here. A couple things. This week's play date, Friday, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv. Come play with us live. Probably a bunch of Jackbox stuff, if I had to guess. So come check it out. We might play that movie game as well. That's
what
awesome.
What the dub?
Enjoy that. So that's this Friday, 2 p.m. for patrons and non-patrons alike. Patrons get in first, but there's always a chance some of the non-patrons can play too. You never know. You never know. So that's Tuesday, this week, and Friday for all of that. And then be here for Brian's before the carb load. I don't know why that's interesting to me, but we'll get to see you before you eat a bunch of spaghetti.
We'll see how exciting that is. Yeah. I'm still... so. One of the things that I need to do today is get this iPhone here in my hands set up. It says,
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hola.
Oh, this is going to be the one for the ride.
This is the one that's going to be mounted on my chest and hooked into Discord.
Was it a six or something? A six, a five? What is that thing?
As like old gar. I think it's a six. Okay. iPhone 6.
All right.
SE.
Square edges? SE. Okay. Anyway.
So that one will be another Discord channel, just video, no audio or anything like that. And then I'll all be in Discord in a separate channel with my AirShock so that I can be talking to everybody while I'm writing.
Oh, nice. Can people see the view and hear the same? How do you do that with two channels?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can just set up Twitch here before I leave in the morning. I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
It might just be a tadpole thing because it'll be here in Discord in the on the Frog Pants Discord server.
Oh, fun.
Because we've got that empty channel there, not empty channel, but Frog Pants Central. So we've got the, what is the one that they always use?
Oh.
Not live audio, TMS Voice Chat, where
yeah,
everyone like hangs out. Yeah.
Well, it'll be a fun technical marvel to watch your crotch cam move its way.
No, that one, there won't be a crotch cam. Dang that it. I can promise you, yes.
Oh, I was really hoping the camera would be mounted on the head of the handlebars, but then aimed at your crotch the whole time. So just, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know you're hoping, but
jostling old Jimmy back and forth, you know. That's not going to happen. Sorry, ladies. And a few men. All right. Let's get out of here. Big thanks to everybody for supporting the show. Without your support, there is no show. So continue to do so if you can. And if you can't, we understand, but we'd love it if you could. Patreon.com/TMS is the place. Everything else at frogpants.com/TMS. And send us those emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's it for the show. We'll now leave. But before we leave, a song.
Yes, Joshua wrote in and said, "My best friend is turning 36 on June 22nd, and this man is crazy for Umphrey's McGee. Anytime they tour within 4 hours driving distance from Toledo, Ohio, he buys tickets. I think he's seen them perform over 40 times. I want to give him a shout out on his birthday for being such an amazing friend and for being there for me. He watches the show live pretty much every day under the name MF Soup."
Whoa.
Love the show, though.
Okay. Well, hello, MF Soup, if you're listening or watching or wherever you are out there.
Let's see. I think I can share this. Some background stuff. He recently got diagnosed with sinus cancer, adenoid cystic carcinoma. Jeez. Sounds pretty bad as outcomes go. He also has a rare form of blood cancer and a neurological disorder that has left him wheelchair bound for the last 8 years. I've listened since ELR days to your podcasts, and I recently got him into the morning stream. He watches the shows live. And he and his family have had so many health issues, and with his recent diagnosis, he's been real down. He has a hard time typing, but he can manage. So big shout out to Matt. And God, it sucks to have all that stuff thrown at you, man. And hopefully this song does a little bit to brighten your day. But holy cow.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. Umphrey's McGee put out an album in 2016 called Zonkey. And on it, they did covers, but not just any covers, Scott. They did mashup covers. So you'll find songs on there like, let's go to the album here. You'll find covers on there like Electric Avenue to Hell, which is both an AC/DC and an Eddie Grant cover, or Sad Clint Eastwood, which is Metallica and Gorillaz. We're going to play this one because it's a bunch of stuff. They just can't decide how many things they want to cover in this one. This is a mashup mix of Michael Jackson, Fleetwood Mac, and The Weeknd called Can't Rock My Dream Face.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to make of this. This is amazing. All right.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Good
stuff.
Lord. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Let's play it now. And tomorrow we'll be back. We got Recommentals and Tom and all the Wednesday foolishness. So please be back for that. Boop show today at 3:30. Maybe some other stuff in between. I'm not sure. Oh, a new Skim will go up today, as well as I think a Was It Any Good. There's a lot going on today, so keep your eyes on the prize. Oh, and these got approved, Brian. Sorry, we got our final proof deck in. So Rock Ooh. Runners is done and is sent to the full production team and is now being made, which means it will ship soon.
Super cool.
So excited. Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe how good they looked. I'm so happy with them. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow and we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, no.
Oh, a combo we haven't heard in a while.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.